Would you pray with me? And so, living God, we are here this day because you have turned our mourning into dancing. You have turned our death into life. You have turned our despair into hope, our darkness into light. All of this happened, that real moment in history when Jesus Christ stepped out of that grave as a risen Lord. Thank you for the gift of the resurrection. Thank you that we have a God who loves us so much that you would rather die than be without us. Thank you, Christ, that you are victorious over every way that decay and deceit and darkness and defeat and yes, even death sneaks into our lives. Thank you that in you we have hope. In you we have reason to sing. In you we have reason to live. And so here we are. We've come to lift high your name today. And as we do so, would you lift up every heart in this place? We love you. It is our joy to be in this place together to celebrate you, King Jesus. We pray these things in your most precious holy name. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Would you pray with me? And now, God, as we turn to your word, we're all here this morning because we've probably at least heard some semblance of this story many times before. Would you make it new in us today? Let the miracle of the resurrection do something new in us today. Let us hear your story with fresh ears and open hearts. Would your spirit move freely among us and within us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, and so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do, O Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. John says, while it was still dark, while the day was just dawning, Mary came to the tomb. Resurrection starts when it is still dark. Mary, mother of James and Joseph, poor lady, just gets called the other Mary. Aren't you glad you're not her? But she's still in the story, so that's good. And Mary Magdalene. We know more about this Mary. This is the Mary that Jesus had cast seven demons out of. And from that moment on, it seems that she was his. She was committed to her rabbi. She became part of this group of these influential ladies who funded the work of Jesus, who followed Jesus, who, yes, were even disciples of Jesus. Some have even argued that Mary Magdalene could be called the most faithful of the disciples because she was just always there. When Jesus is teaching, she's there. When he is traveling, she's there. When he is crucified, she's there. When he's buried, she's there. And when it is still dark, on the third day, at his tomb, she is there. Those who give their hearts to just being with Jesus, they still tend to see him when nobody else does. Just being where he is. Easter starts in the dark. The day is still dawning. You could hardly see your hand in front of your face. And Mary come to the tomb. Now the darkness isn't only around them, it is also inside of them, is it not? Their rabbi has been murdered. The one who dared to say that corrupt power and evil forces and death and darkness would have to go. Well, those things are still here. And he's the one who is gone. The Marys carry within them this darkness in their spirits that tells them that corrupt religion and evil Rome had won again. Their hope of anything different, of anything better happening down here at all, had failed once again. And all that's left to do now is to just go and pay respects to the man who gave this other way of life, this way of peace and of hope and of love. He gave it a decent shot. But in the end, he just could not overcome the powers that be. The darkness was around them. The darkness was inside of them. Anyone feel like corruption and evil and darkness is still winning the day? Anyone turn on the news and grieve, say to yourself, it is really never going to get any better down here, only worse. Anyone ever look at your own family and the struggles that you are still going through and you begin to think to yourself, you know, don't get your hopes up, just toughen up because the hits are just going to keep coming. Resurrection starts while it's still dark. Mary and Mary are coming to honor a dead man. They are coming to bury their hope with him. What they don't know is that even though the sun has not yet risen, the Son of God is already risen. Amen. While Mary is in ultimate despair, Jesus has already dealt with those things that are causing her deepest sadness. While she is absolutely sure that corruption and evil have successfully buried another good man, Jesus has already risen and has already taken the only throne that is eternal. While they are weeping, while they are feeling in the depths of their soul the sting of death, Jesus has already gone down to hell and set all the dead people free. The irony of that. While they're sure that the worst news has indeed won again, Jesus has already turned the worst day into the best day. In the dark, Jesus already declares that the worst news is never, ever the last news. Whether we see it or not, resurrection starts in the dark. While it's still dark, when we are this close to being convinced that God is not for us, that God is not with us, when we are this close to convincing ourselves that God doesn't care, that God doesn't have a plan for all of this chaos around us, that God cannot turn any of this mess around, when we are this close to being sure that God is really not going to bring anything good from all of this bad at all, while it's still dark out there, while it's still dark in here, Jesus is already alive and on the move, because resurrection starts in the dark, in the world's darkness. Yes, in your darkness too. Because we serve a God who has always known exactly what to do with darkness, do we not? Our entire story, the creation story, begins in this dark and formless void. And lo and behold, there comes life. The psalmist declares of God, says, "Oh God, darkness is just as light to you." John says of Jesus, "The light came into the darkness, and the darkness will not, cannot overcome it." We have a God who has always known what to do with some darkness. When we find ourselves as those who are the ones who are weeping and despairing and closing the blinds and shuttering up our souls, convinced that the darkness is actually going to get the best of us this time, my friends, don't forget your God. Have you forgotten your God? The God who has always started his very best work, where? In the dark. In your darkness, don't forget God. In our world's darkness, don't forget your God. This is the God who has always said that there's more news than what you see on the news. This is the God who has always said there is always more going on than what meets the eye. So when we are sure that evil is winning, there is a God who is already doing something about that. Don't forget your God. Our God alive and on the move, even when it's still dark, especially when it's still dark. Wherever you feel completely overwhelmed today, do we not feel completely overwhelmed today? Wherever you feel that, by the grief of death, by the weariness of corruption, by the darkness of evil, be not dismayed, my friends. Our Jesus is at work while it is still dark. Whatever darkness you carried in this room, whatever is weighing on your soul this Easter Sunday, don't forget your Jesus. His best work starts while it is still dark. That's just the first verse. We've got 10 verses here. Aren't you excited? Don't worry. Not every verse gets a whole sermon. We've got half to get to, right? But that's just the first verse. Easter is full of life. The Marys, they get to the tomb and an earthquake breaks out. Now, don't miss this detail. An earthquake breaks out. You see, Jesus' resurrection is about God making a way for you to have life with God for real today and forever. It is about that. It is very personal, and it's absolutely incredible. That is true, and that is good. But the resurrection is also about so much more than just me and Jesus getting to hang out together from now on. It's about so much more. The entire earth quakes. Matthew tells us at the death of Jesus, darkness takes over the entire earth and graves begin to shake and dead people begin to come to life, even on Friday of that week. You see, Jesus' death and resurrection, it is about me and Jesus hanging out, but it's also about so much more. Jesus' death and resurrection, it dismantles every power that has ever held this world captive. Every lie, every injustice, every sign of decay and destruction, every place that the enemy has ever had his grip on, every corrupt system, every place of suffering, everything that is broken on earth and under the earth. Earthquakes start under the earth. Everything gets shaken up when Jesus dies and then breathes again. Everything. And that is good news for us. And that is good news for everyone and for everything that God has ever had his loving eyes on. It is good news for all of creation. Life wins. Love wins. And at that, the earth knows not what to do but just to shake. Life wins and love wins. Everything gets dismantled that's not of life and not of love. An angel of the Lord descends from heaven and rolls back the stone. In another gospel, as it's telling the story, it tells that the women, as they're on their way to the grave, they're having a conversation. And in their conversation, they're saying, "What are we going to do about that stone?" They're like, "It's heavy. I don't think we're going to be able to move it. Do you have a plan for the stone, Mary? What about you, other Mary? No, what about you, other Mary? No, we don't have a plan for the stone. It's a really big deal. I don't know what we're going to do. Let's just show up and see what happens." Anyone have a problem in your life that you have been racking your brain trying to solve on your own? How much time and anxiety do we waste trying to move these stones for ourselves that our God has already planned to move for us? Maybe someone's Easter invitation this morning is just to lay that unsolvable problem at the feet of Jesus and just let him move a stone on your behalf. I bet he can do it. Have you asked him to? That's a great first step. The angel rolls the stone back and sits on it. His appearance is white and dazzling. What do you do when heaven comes to earth? What do you do? What do you do when you get that glimpse that there is more in your midst than meets the eye? What do? When you start to hear the voice of God? What do? When you start to see the presence of a holy God right there before you? What do? The guards, they pass out. They become like dead men. It's all too much for them. So what do? They just sleep this one out. The miracle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is happening right before their eyes, and they sleep this one out. What is wrong with them? I don't know about you, if I see an angel rolling a stone away from a tomb and I sit through an earthquake, I am going to be awake. How about you? What's wrong with them? But my friends, can we be honest for just a minute with ourselves? Because if we can't be honest on Easter Sunday, when can we be honest at all, right? How often is the living God actually moving in my midst, speaking directly to my heart, doing his beautiful work all around me? And I am totally asleep to it. Asleep in disbelief. Convinced that God really does care about me. Not really convinced that he's going to do much about it. Maybe not even convinced that there really is a God. Pretty sure that even if there is, nothing's going to really change around here. If you don't believe he's here, then there's a good chance you won't see him here, sleeping, when resurrection's happening right in front of our faces. Sometimes we're asleep in our weariness. Those guards have been up all night long. They are tired, no doubt. We Americans live in this perpetual state of exhaustion. When you're barely functioning because you're just so darn tired, it is really easy to sleepwalk your way through life, even when new life is happening right in front of you. Sometimes we're asleep in our complacency. The guards were part of a system that was pretty much working for them. They had decent jobs. Their basic needs were met. Sure, the world around them was a mess, but they were mostly okay. You see, when you're not looking for anything better than the mess that we've normalized, there's a good chance of being asleep when real life is bursting up all around us. I'm fine. Asleep. For the guards, this was really just a normal day in their life. They're just doing their job. And everything in history changed on their watch while they hit the snooze button. Get your mind around that. In your everyday life, did you know that the same risen Jesus crashes into your jam-packed schedule, ready to overwhelm you with his alive, loving presence just the same? Have you let him encounter you in your everyday life recently, or are you pushing the snooze button? My friends, don't sleep on Jesus. Did you know that in your everyday life, the risen Jesus is at work just the same as on this day? He's speaking into your sadness. He's inviting you every single day to live with him. He is wanting to touch all of your broken places and to tell you, don't worry, I'm not done with that yet. Every single day in your life, this is happening all around you. Are you seeing the risen Jesus? Are you hearing him? Are you walking with him? Are you letting him intervene in your everyday life? And is he changing everything? Because when we are awake to him, he changes everything. Those silly guards, they slept on the risen Jesus, but not us, oh Lord. Not us. Awaken us right here, oh Lord. Awaken us right now, oh Lord. Don't miss him, my friends. Your Jesus is alive in your everyday life. Don't miss him. The angel tells the women, I know you're looking for Jesus, and you will see him. Do you see how simple it is not to miss him? Just live a life looking for him, and you will see him, and you will see him. The angel says Jesus isn't here. He's risen just as he said. It turns out this Jesus is the real deal. He had told his disciples so many times. He said, okay, guys, gather around. Now listen, y'all. I think Jesus said, listen, y'all, they are going to kill me. This is the plan. But don't despair, because I will rise again. And lo and behold, what happens? They do kill him. And what do his disciples do? They despair, as if Jesus hadn't already warned them that this is exactly what was going to happen. He died and he rose just as he said. Do you know what this means? This means that we can trust everything that Jesus has said about what he would do. If he went and pulled off this one, the resurrection from the dead, this is the biggest one, then we can trust him in everything else that he has promised to do. And so the question, what else has Jesus promised to do? What else can we trust him in? Jesus has promised to give rest to weary souls. Got any weary souls in the room today? Jesus has promised your rest in him. Jesus has promised that the poor in spirit will see God. He's promised that the meek will inherit the earth. He's promised that mourners will be comforted, and those who hunger for justice will be filled. He's promised that peacemakers will be children of God. He's promised to give living water to the thirsty. He has promised to lift up the lowly. He has promised to share his joy, his complete joy, with us. He's promised that the same relationship that the Father, Son, and Spirit share together, that we can be in on that relationship too. He has promised forgiveness of every sin. He has promised that he is coming again. He's promised that he is preparing a place for us. Jesus isn't here. He is risen, just as he said. Mary and Mary, the angel is saying, your Jesus keeps his promises. And if that same angel sit above this room today, he would look at you and call you by name, and he would say, know this, your Jesus keeps his promises to you too. Everything that he has said he is going to do to you and for you, he is going to do to you and for you. Know his promises and cling to them, because our Jesus will not let us down. The Marys are told to head to Galilee so they can go and tell the disciples that Jesus is alive. And off they go quickly, and full of fear and full of joy. And on that path of obeying what God has asked them to do, even though they cannot make sense of any of it yet, on that path of love and obedience, they see the risen Jesus. In my life, I'm finding that that's where I see him the most too. When I'm just loving him and just doing what I know to do to be faithful to what he's asked me to do. Loving obedience in those places I see him again and again. He finds them on the path to go tell the good news. They're the first two people on earth to see our risen Lord. And they become the very first preachers of the best news ever preached. Jesus is risen from the dead, and that changes everything. They see him, and they fall at his feet, and they worship him. To see him, to know him, is to live lives that cannot stop worshiping him. Is your life centered around the worship of our Jesus? To see him, to know him, is to worship him. If worship has not yet taken over your life, I pray that this Easter Sunday, the Spirit awakens in you and in me whatever needs to be awakened in us today. Because we don't want to sleep this one out. Wake me up, Lord. Wake me up. In the places where we are sleeping, as God's life springs up all around us, open our eyes, O Lord. Open our hearts, O Jesus, to see you, the risen one, to worship you, and to declare to a world that is still way too comfortable with darkness, awake, Jesus is alive. Don't sleep this one out. Don't sleep this one out. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we're awake. Awake in the parts of us that aren't yet awake. We want to see you as Mary and Mary saw you. We want to hear you as they heard you, and we want to worship you as they worshiped you. And we want to tell your good news as they told the good news. Awaken us to know your truth, to live into your truth, and to share your truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.